Today wasn't going to be here. I said, great. It's just going to be me and my family. It's terrible. But it's good to see you guys here tonight, everybody here. And for the Ingram family, this is my wife. Have her stand. My wife is Ingrid Ingram. And it's not a misprint. It's Ingrid Ingram. And if you could say it, you'll probably remember it. And this is my son Joshua. Joshua, go ahead and stand up. And so this is Joshua. You heard him in the video. That wasn't my voice changing. That was him. And thank you. You can sit down. And he'll never forget that verse as long as he lives. That first verse at the beginning. And so he gets to quote that verse every time. And that's exciting. When we first came by, I guess it was 11, 12 years ago, the first time, we didn't have Joshua or Rebecca. Rebecca has escaped to the little kids class, I guess. And so but we didn't have either of those. We wanted children from the very, very beginning, but we didn't have children. And, you know, no one ever gets married thinking we're not going to have children. Nobody ever gets married with that expectation that we're not going to be have children. And so it was tough on us because we went a year and 2 years, we didn't have any children. And so we just gave it over to the Lord. It was very hard. The Lord ended up putting us in ministry there at our church to work with the young people, and we had a large youth group there, and we were able to devote a bunch of our time to those young people. And so if we'd had children, that would have been tougher, but we're able to devote our life to them. And then the Lord called us to Brazil. We took a mission trip with our young people to Brazil, and we saw the need that was there, and God ended up calling us back to Brazil. And it was there that Joshua was born. He was born in Brazil, and so he's Brazilian and American. And we drove through Canada the other week, and he was excited to go through Canada. He figured now he was Canadian as well. And we had to explain to him it doesn't really work that way. It'd be neat, but you can't be Canadian just for driving through. But don't tell him that. He still feels good about the Canadian part. So, Rebecca was born here during our last furlough. And so we praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for blessing us and for giving us two wonderful children. We're thankful for those. And we're thankful for this church. This church has been a blessing to us. And I know a number of you pray for us on a regular basis. We need that. We need your prayer more than we need anything else, because we need the Lord's help more than we need anything else. So we want to thank you for your prayers. We want to thank you for your giving. And y'all increased our support at the beginning of the year. We want to thank you for that. We are we're back home this year doing really three things while we're back home for the year. We are trying to raise some new support, and we've raised, I guess we've had seven new churches take us on, and so we do still need to raise some more support, so continue to pray for that, and the Lord's been very faithful in that, and so we are trying to raise new support, but we're also wanting to minister to churches, and when we go into churches, churches minister to us. When you get up and sing, and the choir special this morning was a blessing. And so this church has ministered to us, and we thank you for that. And we appreciate the Forneys. They have been willing to put up with us and our kids. I think Rebecca scared them this morning, and I said, Rebecca, don't do that. We're staying at their home. Wait a couple of days before you scare the people who are putting us up. And so, of course, little girl, she's laughing hysterically, but don't scare her. So we're thankful for them for keeping us, and it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing to be here, and we want to thank you for what you've done for us. It's been a blessing. This church means a lot to us, and we are so thankful. In the slides tonight, you got to see a little bit of our ministry there. And when we went back the last time, 4 years ago, we went back to Brazil. I guess it's been 5 years ago now. Whenever we went back to work with an existing church and to support the pastor there and the work. And to encourage him and trying to get the church to where it was self-supporting. He was working 40, 50 hours a week and it was just struggling. So we went there to help and teach Sunday school, whatever they need. Ingrid started a Bible club. I started a Bible institute in the church there for the laymen, the folks of the church. And after 2 years, his wife, Pastor Weber's wife, had some physical problems. And so they had to step away from the ministry for a while. And so then we stepped in and began leading the church. And that was of the Lord. That wasn't our plan. You never, as an American, want to step in and take the work back over. But that was the direction the Lord led in. And we were able to see the Lord do some pretty incredible things there. We mentioned at the end of the video, or about the families, people living together not married. That's very common down there. It's part of the culture. In fact, in one neighborhood up there, of the hundreds of homes, I guess there's 300-400 homes up there, there's only about probably 10 couples who are married. So it's very much a part of their culture. One family in our church, they'd gotten saved, but they'd been living together for 15 years. And they were not married, had two children. Another couple had been living together for 9 years. And they came to our church. They'd gotten saved in our church. But they weren't willing to separate because it was just so much a part of their culture. And we showed them in the Scripture and they wouldn't separate. And so we began to work with them on getting married. And after a few months of taking over, they did get married. We praise the Lord for that. And they're faithful in our church today. And they're helping out in the work there. And so that truth that abounds to your account, that's what the gospel does. It changes lives. It builds families, puts families together. And we praise the Lord for that. And that's exciting to see the Lord working like that and doing that. One of the men who was in our presentation, Edson, he came to church one Sunday night. He sat up close to the front. And I got done with the message and I asked if anyone wanted to get saved. And he looked at me. He opened his eyes. He looked at me. He raised his hand and out loud, in front of everybody, said, "I do." That's kind of interesting, but he wanted to get saved. He wasn't ashamed. So at the invitation he did, he came forward and he got saved. He got born again. And Edson had been doing drugs most of his adult life since he was a teenager, had been doing drugs. He'd done drugs that day before he came to church. But when he came to church, he got saved. He got born again. He didn't do drugs anymore. He hasn't drunk anymore. He hasn't done anything. Now that doesn't happen to everybody, but it does still happen. And God changed his life. He lived a wicked life and God saved him, changed his life. His wife had grown up Catholic and she wasn't saved. And she said, "Well, I'm going to wait and see if this is real with Edson, see if God really changed his life." And after a few weeks, maybe a month and a half, she came to church one Sunday night. God had been dealing with her and she came to her wife. She said, "I'm ready to get saved." And so she got born again. And they're one of the couples that ended up getting married. And God ended up putting that home together, saving them, putting that home together. And that's exciting. It's exciting to see God change lives. And that fruit to your account, because of your giving, people's lives are changed in Brazil. That's exciting, isn't it? That's exciting. Let's open our Bibles tonight to John chapter 6. And if you can, please stand as we look at the Word of God tonight. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We begin reading in verse 5. It says, "When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. I pray, Lord, that you bless the preaching of your word, that you would stir our hearts tonight, that you would challenge us, that you'd fill me with your spirit and your power tonight, and that you'd use me tonight, Father, and that you would speak to hearts. Lord, I pray, Father, that you challenge us tonight from this story, from these verses, and Lord, that you might meet with us in a special way. We ask you with Pastor Anderson as he's traveling. Lord, you watch over him and protect him. Lord, we do thank you for this church, their heart for missions, for those who pray for us faithfully. And Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us and in us. We ask things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing tonight. I mentioned there's 3 things as we're back in the States for this year that we want to do. One is we do need some more support. Number 2, we want to minister to churches. But there's a 3rd thing that we want to do tonight, and that is as a missionary serving on the foreign field, you see the need that's there firsthand. And the great need tonight when it comes to missions and the gospel is there's a need for laborers, for workers, people to go. I had a young man come down to visit us in Brazil, a couple of the young people from our church, and I was taking him back to the airport, and it's a little while back to the airport. It's about four hours back to the airport. And as we drive along, I would simply mention to him as we drive through a city, I would say, there's no church in this city. And it might be a city of 200,000 people. I said, there's no church. There is no one in this city that I know of preaching the gospel. There's no one that anybody that I know knows of preaching the gospel in the city. What I'm saying is, it's not that these aren't, we say, well, that church isn't like us, or they believe a little bit different, but they at least preach the gospel here in America. And so we say, well, they're not like us, but at least they preach salvation by grace through faith. In Brazil, when we say there's not a church there, we're saying there's no one there preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel being the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and salvation by grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. They're all preaching a works salvation that you have to do something to get to heaven. And so as we traveled along, I would say, Anthony, there's no church in this city. And then we travel along and I would say, now Anthony, there's no church in this city. Anthony, there's no church in this city. Finally, he looked at me and he said, why aren't there any churches? I said, because there's no one to go. In the capital city of our state, 5 million people. In Belo Horizonte and the surrounding metropolitan area, there is no missionary there that I know of, that anybody that I know knows of. There's one church there that was started years ago, about 15 or 20 people, that preaches the gospel for a city of 5 million people. Most of those people, and they're religious, they do go to different churches, but they're churches that do not preach the gospel. Most of those people will live their entire lives. They'll be born, live, and die, and never hear the gospel one time. Not one time. They will not even hear the gospel one time. There's a need for laborers. There's a great need for laborers. And so as we look at the passage tonight, in light of missions, in the light of the need tonight, I want to challenge you tonight, and this is funny because as a missionary you come in and you come into a church that loves you, that has given, that has prayed for you, and you are giving the uncomfortable position to make them uncomfortable. And that makes me uncomfortable, brother. But can I say this tonight? With millions upon millions of people going to hell tonight, we should be a little bit uncomfortable. Wouldn't you agree with that? We should not forget tonight the great need that's there around the world. Now as we look in the passage tonight, we see in John chapter 6 the miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. And tonight what I would like to do is I would like to look at one aspect of this miracle tonight. I would like to look at the young man that is in the passage tonight. And this young lad, verse number 9, it says, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Because here is a young man that God used to feed 5,000 people. Now there were disciples there, there were other people, there were other people of means, there were other people of abilities, but of all those, God used a little lad to feed 5,000 people. Now God could have created, Jesus Christ could have created bread and fishes from stones to feed the 5,000, but He didn't. He used a little lad, and there's a lesson in that for us. And we want to look at this young man because we find in the Scripture, most of the time, God uses people. And He uses what they have to perform the miracles. Now notice, we find the first thing about this young man, that he was able to be used because he was close to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse number 9, he says, there is a lad here. Now there were 5,000 men, plus the women and children, that was a huge crowd. If this little boy was like most little boys, and I do have a little boy, what do little boys like to do? They like to play. They like to be playing with their friends. And maybe he had some friends there, maybe his friends were there and they were scattered about. But this young boy was not off with his friends. He was not doing all these other things. He wasn't out doing what most little boys do. He was as close to Jesus as he could possibly be. He had to be close enough that he could see what was going on and for the disciple to use him. If he was on the other side of the crowd, there's no way the Lord, they would have gone and gotten him and found him where he could offer his lunch to Jesus. He was as close to Jesus as he could possibly be. And if we're going to be used, we need to be just as close to Jesus as we can possibly be. The Bible says, draw nigh unto Him, and He will draw nigh unto us. We're as close to the Lord tonight as we want to be. As we want to be. But you know what happens a lot of times? There are things that draw us away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I was a youth pastor for 3 years, and I found a lot of times the thing that pulled young men away from the Lord was girls. That's true. A lot of times what drew the young girls away was the young men. Y'all were all there. People get drawn away by job. They get drawn away by the wrong friends. I joined the Marine Corps when I was 18 years old. When I was in high school, I did not live like I ought to live. I had the wrong friends. And I had the wrong friends because I wanted the wrong friends, because I was more interested in being cool than I was living for God. I didn't want to hurt my mom. I didn't want to break my mom's heart. My mom and dad got divorced when I was 12, and I really didn't want to break my mom's heart, but I also wanted to be out and be cool and go out and do the things that everybody else did. So I got the wrong friends on purpose to do the wrong things. And I did break my mom's heart. And I did go away from the Lord. When I went into boot camp as an 18-year-old young man, that's where God got a hold of my heart. And I said, Lord, I want to live for You, and I'm done. I'm done living in the world. I want to live for You. So when I got to my first duty station as a young Marine, 18 years old, I'm there, wanted to live for God. First Sunday I was there, there was a flyer up about a church, and so I went to church that Sunday morning, stayed all day, came back Sunday night. The guys were like, so where you been? It's like, I went to church. You went where? These are Marines. They talk about cuss like a sailor, but sailors ain't got nothing on the Marines. It is a wicked group. And so I went to church on Monday. They're having revival that week. I went to church Monday night, Tuesday night. And these guys are like, you're going back to church? And so, you know what they did? They didn't encourage me. They made fun of me and they called me names. But you know what? I didn't care. Because at that moment, I wasn't interested in what they thought. I was more interested in serving God and living for God. And I was more interested, really, in saving my spiritual life, if you will. And so I went to church and I latched on to those folks at church. And I said, I don't care what anybody else thinks. I don't care what they say. They can say whatever they want. And so they'd say, well, we're going out tonight to the bar. Could you be our designated driver? I'm like, I'm against drinking. And I'm not going to help you drink. They're like, I said, no, I'm not going to go with you. I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to encourage you in that. I'm not going with you. I'm not going to help you do that. But they didn't like that. They got mad at me. I said, that's all right. That's right. It didn't bother me at all. I just wanted to walk with God. Your friends are going to help you walk with God and be close to the Lord, or they're going to draw you away from the Lord. You want to walk with God, you need to find friends that are going to help you walk with God. You need to find friends that are going to encourage you to walk with the Lord. Now, I don't know if this lad in here had any friends there with him. I don't know if he did. When I first got there to my base, I didn't have anybody going to church with me. Nobody. But then there was one guy. He said, hey, I'll go to church with you. He was saved. Said, I'll go. Then there was two of us. Then another guy came, and he said, are you Ingram? And my last name, are you corporal? I said, yeah. He said, I'd like to go to church with you. Because when you take a stand for God, sometimes people come along and they want to go with you. They want to follow. So I've been there a while, and there was like five or six of us. They called us the God Squad. It was not meant to be a positive thing. But if you're gonna be used of God, you got to be willing to be alone. I don't think this young lad probably had other young men that were with him. So what are you doing? He said, I'm just here close to the Lord. I heard the preaching. I want to be here close to the Lord. The lad's just as close to Jesus as he can be. I believe because he wanted to be used of the Lord. He wanted to be there as close as he could. And if we're going to be used of God, we're going to need to be as close to the Lord as we can possibly be. And that may mean that we don't have a lot of friends, or we don't have the friends that we want to have. Or maybe we don't have the job that we want to have. When I got out of the Marine Corps, I got offered some different jobs. They said, but you'll have to do this and that and the other. I said, well, I'm going to go to Bible college. I can't just have any job I want to have. I need a job that's going to let me serve God. It's going to mean some choices. The young man was as close to Jesus, I believe, as he could possibly be, because he wanted to be used of the Lord. He wanted to be close to Jesus. Jesus Christ gave His life for me, and I ought to want to be as close to Him as I can possibly be. And there's nobody in this world, nobody, that's more important than the Lord Jesus Christ because of what He did for me. The little boy wanted to be as close to Jesus as he could possibly be. The Lord might use him. Number two, not only was he as close to Jesus as he could possibly be, but he was paying attention to what was going on. And this is fantastic if you know little boys, because little boys are never paying attention. Little girls do. Little girls are focused, they're paying attention. Not little boys. We got some young men here today paying attention. Told my wife I ought to have I make some balloon animals. I should bring them up so the kid's like, what's he doing? Making a balloon animal. This little boy was paying attention. He was listening to what was going on between Jesus and the disciples. As they're discussing the need for food, they're discussing this need that they don't have any food. There's all these people and they don't have any food. This little boy is paying attention and he's listening to what's going on between Jesus and the disciples. Now he has food and he's listening and he hears that they need something and he's paying attention to what the Lord is in need of. If we're going to be used of the Lord, we've got to be paying attention and listening. Did you know every time you come to church, the Lord's got something for you? Every time we come to church. Now, the young people that are going off to camp this week, that is exciting. I used to love going to camp with the young people. And the preaching that's there and all the opportunities God has to speak to the young people, speak to my heart. But God wants to speak to us. But if we're going to hear what He has to say, we've got to be listening. We've got to be paying attention. The Bible says, he that hath ears to hear, let him what? Let him hear. You know, you can have ears and not hear. Me and my wife, when we started out on deputation, we were going to be in the car for a while, long while. Before we were here on Thursday, we were in Pennsylvania. This last Thursday, we were in Pennsylvania. We drove to Cincinnati, spent a day in Cincinnati, and then we drove up here yesterday. Well, we have kids now. Before we were married, before we were on deputation, we didn't have any kids. So when we started out, I told my wife this. I said, honey, I said, we're going to be in the car for a long time. I said, and you can talk to me as much as you want, but I may not be listening. I'm just going to tell you, because men can drive in the car. Men can ride for 3 hours and say nothing. And at the end of 3 hours, either one of them thinks the other's mad at him. Women are like, why didn't he talk to me? He's just thinking, you know. And so I told my wife, I said, you can talk to me as much as you want. I said, but if it's something important, if it's something you need me to be paying attention, you need to get my attention, say, honey, this is important. And so that's what we would do, and that's what it'd work. And she would talk to me, and sometimes I was listening, sometimes I wouldn't, but she'd be talking to me, and if it was important, she'd get my attention. But as we traveled on deputation, I like to listen to talk radio sometimes, if we could find something, and, you know, listen to what's going on, the current events of the day and whatnot. And so we'd be driving along. And on the talk radio stations, they have news at the top of every hour. And so we drove along, and I don't remember, it was one day we're driving along, and I'm listening to what's going on and whatnot. And she hadn't been saying anything, she'd just been kind of quiet. But right as it got to the top of the hour, right as the news came on, she starts talking to me. And I'm trying to listen, but she's talking to me, and she talks to me about 5 minutes. And I said, honey, I said, you know, we're right in the car, we've got a lot of time, I said, but at the top of every hour, the news comes on, and I'd like to hear that, hear, you know, events or whatever. And she said, oh, I'm sorry, did I do that? I said, yes, you started talking right as the news came on. She said, I'm so sorry. I wasn't even thinking about it. And I said, that's no problem. So we drove along, and she really didn't talk to me again for a whole hour. Right about the top of the hour, she starts talking to me, and she stops, and she says, I did it again, didn't I? Yep. So that's, you know, but, you know, if we're not careful, we can come to church and we can be here. We have ears to hear, but we're not listening. We're not paying attention. Now, this young man was paying attention. I mean, how in the world is he going to know to offer his lunch if he's not listening? He's listening. Now, you may have something that God wants, but if we're not listening, we're not going to know that He wants what I have. We're not going to hear what He wants to speak to us about if we're not paying attention. We've got to be paying attention, giving Him our attention, and spiritually attuned to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us about. He was paying attention. Notice number three, the young man was willing to give what he had. He was willing to go hungry and give up his lunch. He was willing to go hungry, and that's a pretty big deal for a young man. Little boys. You know, when my kids were two, if I asked them for their food, if I asked them for candy, if they had dessert, I'd say, can I have your dessert? They're like, sure, Daddy. You know, but when they hit three, somewhere in there, it's like, no. Can I have your food? No. You know, Daddy, this is my food. This is my dessert. You can't have this. This is for me. You know, they want what they have. And you're just joking with them, obviously, most of the time. And so here's a young man who has a lunch. He doesn't have anything else to eat. He I don't know where his mother is. His mother may not be there. His mother, I don't know. But he's got five loaves of bread and two fishes. That's all he's got. He doesn't have anything else. And he hears that they need food, and here's a young man, a little boy, who is willing to give up his lunch and go hungry to give his lunch to the Lord. Now, he didn't understand what Jesus was going to do. He didn't understand the miracle. He was simply willing to give up what he had, give up his comfort, so that the Lord could have his lunch. I enjoy being comfortable. I like air conditioning. You like air conditioning. We all love air conditioning. Brazil doesn't have air conditioning. I'm not going to Brazil. Okay. There's other places that have air conditioning. But you know, we like being comfortable. We do. We like being comfortable. And God's given us some wonderful comforts. And I praise the Lord for that. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ left more comfort than we'll ever know. Pastor preached about it this morning. He that was rich. He wasn't just rich in things. Do you understand that there is no discomfort in heaven? Now, I don't know how, you know, people come to church and say, it was a little warm tonight. I thought it was a little cool tonight. Well, if you're cool, sit on this side. If you're hot, I don't know. But do you realize it's never too hot or too cold in heaven? Can you imagine that? It's never too hot or too cold in heaven. I don't know that you'll ever be hungry in heaven. I don't know that we hardly ever go hungry unless it's by choice in America. But do you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ never knew hunger? He never knew discomfort when He was in heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ left the comforts of heaven to go to a cross and die for us. He gave up all the comfort that is in heaven to come down here for us. Can I ask you a question? Are we above giving up our comforts for the lost of this world? Because that's what's important. That's what matters. In eternity, one day of comfort won't mean a thing because we'll have all the comfort there. Are we tonight willing to give up our comfort so that others can have eternal life? This young man was willing to go hungry so that the Lord Jesus Christ could have his lunch. And can I say this tonight? I don't believe he was the only one there with a lunch. Now, one of the disciples said, he said, verse number 7, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now, I don't know if they had 200 pennyworth of bread. I don't know if they just had 200 pennies to go buy the bread. But none of the disciples had a sack lunch. Nobody else had a sack lunch that they were willing to give. But you know, I'll bet other people had a sack lunch. But only one little boy offered a sack lunch. And now here's something to think about. Jesus didn't need two lunches. He just needed one. Well, what if he had two sack lunches? Well, he fed everybody with one. He couldn't have done more with two. He just needed one sack lunch. Now, when he found him, notice what he says. He said, there's a lad here which has five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? What are they? He said, it's not enough. Now what the devil tells us, he says, you don't have enough. That's the heart of doubt. That's the heart that says, what you have isn't important. Your life doesn't matter. And you know, as a young man, I would go to Sunday school because I had to. And I would sit in the back of Sunday school and I was sitting back in my chair, and my goal in Sunday school was to go to sleep. Which is hard because there are wood floors and wooden chairs, and if you sat at the wrong angle, you'd fall down and that would hurt. But if you'd looked at me right then as a young man and you said, you know, one day you're going to be a missionary, I would say, you're crazy. You're crazy. There's no way I'll ever be a missionary. Do you know why? Because I didn't see my life as that important. I didn't see my life is meaning much of anything in eternity in light of what God could do. And that's what he says, what are these among so many? He says, Lord, there's a lad here who has a lunch, but it's not much. It's not much. It's not much. And you know it wasn't much when that little lad had it? When he had it, that little lad could not have fed 5,000 people. But that's the wonderful thing. When he gave it to Jesus, that little lunch fed everybody. My life wasn't much. If you'd have met me as an 18-year-old young man, you wouldn't have seen much. But I gave my life to the Lord and I said, Lord, you can have my life to do whatever you want to with it. The verse in our presentation, also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Jesus said, he looked on the field, he looked on the people. He said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Now anybody that's ever farmed, they're excited about a big harvest. Can I say tonight, spiritually, if we were farmers, we would be so happy and excited and thrilled, we wouldn't be able to contain it. Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. There's over 7 billion people in the world today. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now sometimes we hear that and we get discouraged. We say, there's no way we can reach everyone. That's not even possible. Well, let me say tonight, number one, it is possible. And you've probably heard this before, but I'll give it tonight. If one person, if you or anybody else, one person this year were to reach one other person, win them to Christ, teach them to win others to Christ, and to train them how to win others to Christ. So you win one person to Christ this year, you teach them how to win others and train them. So you, one person, win one person. At the end of this year, you've got two people. At the end of 2 years, you've got four people. At the end of 3 years, you've got eight people. This guy's a math genius right here. You good at math? You good at math? So at the end of the next year, how many do you have? 16. Then next year, how many? Next year? The next year? The next year? He's jumping in. Well, thank you very much. Just participation in the message tonight. At the end of 10 years, you have roughly 1,000 people saved. 1,000 people. And now, you have only won 10 people to Jesus. That's it. All you've won is one person a year, and taught them how to win somebody to Christ and how to train them to win somebody else to Christ. In 10 years, you've only won 10 people, but there's 10,000 people, 1,000 people saved at the end of 10 years. Now, the end of 10 years, you have roughly, anybody want to guess how many? If you've heard this before, you already know. At the end of 10 more years, how many people will be saved? 1 million people in 20 years. At the end of 10 years, more years, 30 years, that's 1 billion people. And all you've done is won one person to Christ. So, after 30 years, you've got 1 billion. 31 years, you've got 2 billion. 32 years, you've got 4 billion. 33 years? 8 billion people. You say, Brother Ingram, it doesn't work like that. I understand that. I understand not everybody's going to get saved. I understand it's not a function where... But don't tell me it can't be done. See, we look at the Great Commission and say, we can't do that. But last time I checked, that's still the Great Commission. You know, a farmer that looked at a field, if he was the only one, he said, there's no way I can get it all. You know what he would say? What would he say? He said, well, I just won't get any of it then. A wheat farmer that had 10,000 acres and he couldn't get it all, he'd say, you know what? I'll get as much as I can. I'm going to get as much as I can. Our thought tonight and our heart ought to be, let's do as much as we can. Let's not think and say we can't do it all. Let's say, I'll do what I can. This little boy, does anybody here have a lunch? Little boy says, I have a lunch. He said, I'll give what I can. By the way, I believe he gave it all. I don't believe he had 4 fishes and 10 loaves of bread. I believe he gave everything he had. Tonight, God wants everything we have. He doesn't just want our finances. He doesn't just want our participation. And He doesn't just want our talent. He wants us tonight. If you're here tonight and you're saved, has there been a time in your life where you said, Lord, I'm yours. You can do whatever you want with my life? Have you ever come to a point where you said, Lord, I'm yours and everything that I have is yours? Because that's what the Lord wants tonight. We're wrestling over whether we do this or do that or give this or give that. But really, the one thing the Lord wants tonight more than anything else is your heart and my heart. Because the Lord can make money. I've told people, if the Lord sent our money in with ravens, like He did for Elijah, you know, every day the kids are fighting over who goes out to get the money. You know, Daddy, the raven brought the money today. You know, our kids would be so excited. I'd have to tell them, say, don't tell anybody. We'll have somebody come in here to take our money, take the raven. But the Lord can't make willing hearts. And the Lord won't force us to be willing. This little boy willingly gave what he had. Not expecting anything in return, but he gave it. Because the Lord needed it. Not in the sense that God needs anything. But we see that God wasn't going to feed the 5,000 out of bread He created. He was going to use what this little boy had. We say, well, the Lord doesn't need us, but His plan does. Is God able to preach the gospel in Belo Horizonte? Yes, He is. But the gospel's not being preached right now in Belo Horizonte. Why is that? Pray ye therefore for laborers. The Lord needs us to fulfill His plans. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? I offer this to you tonight. The Lord has not lost any of His power tonight. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. We have all the power in the universe at our disposal. We have the greatest commission that's ever been given. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We've been given the promise of His presence tonight. Lo, I am with you always. Always. And tonight, all He asks of us tonight is to give ourselves to Him, to offer ourselves up, to say, Lord, here's my lunch, and it's me. And Lord, You can have me tonight. You can use me tonight for whatever You want to do. Now this little boy, he gave his lunch. He was willing to go hungry. He didn't understand what was going to happen. He had to give his lunch before he could see the blessings of what God was going to do. He didn't know what was going to happen. He had to give it first. He gave up something physical to get something eternal. To get something eternal. He said, what did he get that was eternal? Well, if you look at the story, we know that 5,000 plus were fed, that they ate off the lunch that little boy gave. And you know, when they all sat down, I believe the lad went and sat down, and Jesus, he could see Jesus pray over the bread, and he gave it to the disciples. He's walking by. The little boy didn't just get to eat 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He got to eat as much as he wanted to. This was a pretty good deal for him, because he got more than he had. When you give to the Lord, you get back more than you have. And so he didn't get just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He got to eat as much as he wanted. And then he looks around and he sees everyone else eating. And he says, that's my lunch. I gave that. That's mine. And he's looking at the people. He says, you're eating my lunch. I gave that to Jesus. And everybody's eating. He gets to see all the multitude. I can imagine him standing up and looking at all these people eating. He said, that's my lunch. I gave that. Can you see a little boy just excited? He could never imagine what God could do with his lunch. And Jesus fed all those people with his lunch. Can you imagine somebody up in heaven? And the Lord says, you gave your life when you were a little boy or a little girl. You gave your life when you were a teenager. You gave your life. And these are the people that got saved because of it. And you stand in heaven and you say, that's my lunch. I didn't think it was much. Other people didn't think it was much, but I gave it and the Lord's taken it and used it. The little boy, I can see him stand up saying, that's my lunch. You say, what did he get that was eternal? Well, we don't know his name, but he's the lad in the story. When we get to heaven, I'll bet we'll be able to find the lad. Hey, are you the lad? Yeah, I'm the lad. I'm the one that gave my lunch to Jesus. He gets to be in the Word of God. He'll be remembered for all eternity as the lad who gave his lunch. That's pretty exciting. When we give temporary things, God uses them for eternal dividends. Brother Edson in Brazil, he's eternal. His soul tonight is saved because of what you gave. His wife Elma tonight, her soul is saved because of what you gave. When you get to heaven, God can say, because you gave, these are the souls that were saved, all the missionaries that you support. This is the fruit. These are the people that are in heaven. If you give your life tonight, I don't know what God will do with your life. It could have been the little boy offers his lunch to Jesus and Jesus says, no, we don't need that. I don't know what the Lord will do with your life tonight, but I know this, that if you go off to college and you get a degree and you make a lot of money and you have a nice house and you do all these things tonight and you say, my life is a success, but you never offered your life to the Lord. You never said, Lord, my life is yours. You may get to heaven and find out all the success that you had was nothing compared to what the Lord could have done with your life If you, and I'm not saying God's going to send everybody to the mission field. There's a need there. But I'm saying this tonight. The Lord wants us all, everyone, to offer ourselves and say, Lord, my life is yours. Lord, you can use it. You can use it. You can use it. After Jesus and the disciples had passed out the bread and the fishes, they'd given the food to all the people and everyone ate as much as they could. They gathered up 12 baskets that remained. Now the Scripture doesn't tell us what happened with those 12 baskets. I like to think they gave them back to the boy because he'd given his lunch. So here he is with 12 baskets of food and he goes home. As I said, the Bible doesn't say what happened, but I like to think he went home and he had the 12 baskets and he knocked on his door. And his mom came to the door and she begins to weep. She says, son, I sent you out to hear Jesus preach. You've gone and robbed a bread store. He says, Mom, that's not what happened. She says, son, where'd you get all these bread fishes? He said, Mama, that little lunch you gave me. I gave it to Jesus. He said, and he prayed over that little lunch that you gave me this morning, all that we had. And Jesus fed the multitude. He said, I couldn't count them all. I don't know how many were there. He said, but they covered the mountainside. And he said, Mom, I could stand up and I could watch them feeding all the people. And he says, we have all this left over. Give it to his mom and his family and be a blessing to them. Can I ask you tonight, does Jesus have your lunch tonight? Are you His? Have you given yourself to the Lord? You can have all that I am and you can use me. To, if you will, feed the multitudes, to win the multitudes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You tonight. I pray, Father, Lord, that You would work in our hearts. And Father, Lord, that You would challenge us, Father, to give all that we have to You. There's a multitude tonight, Lord, in need of Christ. And Father, Lord, You want to use what we have. Lord, whatever it may be, You want to use our lives. And everything that we have, that the multitudes might be saved. Lord, You said, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Lord, that there might be someone tonight that surrendered their life, Lord, to serve You. There might be someone tonight that You'd call to go, Lord, to the ends of the earth to win the lost for Christ. Lord, we thank You tonight for this church, for these people, Lord, and for their heart. And Lord, I pray that tonight the decisions be made that would please You. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, how many can say tonight, say, preacher, praise God, I know this. I know if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. I've been born again. Praise the Lord. Would you slip your hand up tonight? Amen. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. You can put them down. Someone here tonight, you say, preacher, I can't say tonight that I'm saved. I don't know, but I would like to know. Pray for me. I won't come to you embarrassed. I'd just like to pray for you tonight. Anybody like that tonight? I'm not sure if I'm saved. Would you slip your hand up tonight? Someone like that. Amen. Well, there's some here tonight, you'd say, preacher, tonight, Lord spoke to my heart. There's never been a time in my life where I've offered myself to the Lord, but I want to do that tonight. Whatever He has for me, I don't know what it is, but I want to offer myself tonight, my lunch, to the Lord to use however He sees fit. Would you slip your hand up tonight? Someone like that. I see that hand. Someone else. I see that hand. Someone else. Offer myself tonight. I see those hands. You can put them down. I see that hand. Someone else. I want to give my lunch. I see that in the back. I see that one on the right. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay, I see that hand on my left. Anyone else? See that hand? Thank you. See that hand? Yes. Someone else? I've never done that. I want to do that tonight. Amen. Amen. If there's someone tonight, you say, preacher, the Lord spoke to my heart tonight about something specific. And I'm not going to ask you what it is. The Lord spoke to my heart. Maybe to go somewhere, maybe to do something specific. The Lord spoke to me tonight about what He wants to do with my life. Maybe missions, maybe the mission field. The Lord spoke to me tonight. Would you slip your hand up tonight? Someone like that. I see that hand. See that hand. Something specific. Thank you. I see that hand. Someone else. Someone else. The Lord spoke to me tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this. Lord, we thank You for hearts that are open, receptive tonight. Lord, You've spoken to a number, Lord, that are willing to offer themselves tonight. Lord, give their lunch to You. Lord, that You might use their life. Lord, in whatever way You see fit, we thank You for that tonight. And Lord, there's been several tonight that have raised their hand about something specific that You have for their lives. And I thank You for that, Lord, that You speak to hearts. And Lord, I pray that You'd use them, that souls might be saved. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Let's stand tonight as the pianist plays. The Lord spoke to you. You come tonight as the pianist, the organ plays. You come tonight.